T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
105.3 FM HD2. This is Tom Fitzmaurice with the second course of The Food Show. Every day we sit down, we sit here, we sup up, we sit up too. We don't just slouch down, we sit up. And we participate, with your help, in a conversation about food, about cooking, about restaurants, and about music. Music? Wait, where did music come from? Anyway, whatever it is that we do, we'd love for you to join us and tell us where you've been eating, what has excited your palate, or anything else
What has excited your palate? My palate is very rarely excited.
My oysters. Boy, that didn't take me long.
So yeah. No matter what iteration of oysters it is, your palate is automatically excited.
Yeah.
Just to have an oyster.
Yeah, just to have a baked oyster in a shell in a hot oven with maybe an interesting little sauce over the top and maybe over the sides and the back, too.
What is your favorite kind of oyster, Tom?
My favorite kind
your
of oyster.
Your favorite.
What recipe or what?
Yes,
what's
your
kind
favorite
of recipe?
Way of consuming an oyster.
Oysters Rockefeller. No, excuse me. No, that's not right. Oysters Bienville. That's my favorite.
That's your favorite.
Yeah.
More than any char-grilled oyster you've had.
Char-grilled oysters are really, really good.
More than oysters Mosca.
Oysters Mosca is Mosca. Its own kind of thing. But
yeah, I think you should think about that. You don't have to think about it all. Oysters Bienville, period.
Bienville's, if assuming they're made well, there are more than a few restaurants that don't really know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So there's
what's
that.
Actually in oysters Bienville?
Well, excuse me. You start off with a little bit of bacon and some breadcrumbs and a little bit of flour. Really not very much of that at all. A little Tabasco sauce and there's some butter, of course. And all of this is baked in the oven on top of that.
Something.
It looks like
right.
Something. Yeah.
I like char-grilled oysters.
I do too. I can't.
I like oysters Bienville.
Yeah.
But and I love Italian. Well, you know what? I don't. That's not true. That's not true.
Nope.
I like Italian oysters, but not for the oysters. I like it for the Italian part.
The
breadcrumbs, the olive oil, the garlic. Yeah.
Yeah,
so you can put just about anything in that, and it's not really about the oyster.
Yeah.
So really, now that I think about it, the only way that I really do like oysters is char-grilled.
Yeah.
And I do like fried oysters, but I never really indulge in that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's really rare that I will eat something fried. But I do like the char-grilled. And I probably shouldn't be eating those either because despite the head game that I play with myself about char-grilled oysters, I think there are more than a few places.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I think maybe most places.
Yeah.
Have at least some margarine in that mixture.
You could answer or ask that question and get a lot of different answers on it. But there are a lot of older restaurants that thought that margarine was a hip thing to serve, and it was.
I have news for you. There are some newer restaurants that think that, too.
Oh, I'm sure that that's true. But it was much enjoyed. But what had happened there is it was a slip in the new approach to deciding on, you know, what goes into a recipe or not, and to put in Margarine was very hep. I remember.
Well, it melts faster. Isn't that the thing? It melts. Is it a melting thing?
I never thought of it that way, but you might be. You might have something there.
Well, it melts because it's chemicals, I guess. I don't know. But anyway, I would love, if you know of a restaurant that is serving char.
I've got that.
Good.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Char grilled oysters. With only a butter garlic sauce, please call, because that's a restaurant that I would like to patronize. I know when I'm eating char-grilled oysters now that I'm probably eating margarine, and I don't like that. I'm uncomfortable about that.
I think the place I would go to for that would be, and this just entered my mind, and it somehow got away. What were we talking about?
We're talking about char-grilled oysters.
Yeah. Oh, I've got it. New Orleans Food and Spirits.
Has only butter? I don't know if that's,
I think so, but I can tell you all the...
Those are my favorite oysters.
They're real good all the time.
Those are my favorite char-grilled oysters, but...
I can't stop
But eating. I don't know...
Ask them next time.
I will ask them. I might even call over there if we, you know, have some time. 260-6368. If you are a restaurateur with char-grilled oysters and you know that you are only doing butter, give us a call. I would like to know, and I think a lot of other people would like to know.
It would be good to know.
That you are not using margarine in your char-grilled oysters, because that is a common element in that dish. And it's not, that's not something that I want to think about particularly. I love that that Tenney Flynn was talking about lard so unabashedly, because he's right, of course. Lard is a natural fat and has gotten a bad rap, and we've chosen instead to use a lot of chemically things in lieu of that, and that he is trying to bring about the awareness that that is not the bad thing that we have been convinced that it is. Anyway, it's my little soapbox visit for the day.
Yeah. You need some soap?
260-6368 is the number.
Give you some lava.
260 menu. Gerhardt Brill.
Yeah.
We were talking about him in the last hour. Mm-hmm. Was he from Germany?
Germany.
He was from Germany.
Yeah.
Yeah. And how long was Gambrill around? Because I remember it being a good restaurant.
I liked it. It was a young guy by the name of, Brill was his name, but I'm trying to remember.
No, Gerhard Brill.
Gerhard.
But he had, I think, okay, can somebody tell us who that other person was? I want to say Gambaluca. It was somebody named Gambaluca. If I'm wrong, would you call us and tell us, please? Yeah. There are two. Gambrill was the combination of names of the two owners of that restaurant. And Gerhard Brill was the chef. And the partner was Gam something. And I think it was Gambaluca.
Might be. I don't remember.
I want to say Nicholas Gambaluca. And if you know the answer to that, give us a call, because it's kind of driving me crazy.
Well, there's never too many Italians around.
Yeah. Well, anyway, was it Italian? The restaurant was not Italian.
No, it was very.
What was it?
It was very hip, sharp.
It was very contemporary cuisine.
Very much contemporary.
And what was it, though? Was it a Creole based? Was it French? What was it?
It was the kind of things that you would find in some of the.
This was the 80s, right? This was in that 80s heyday of the contemporary Creole cuisine. Is that
That's
what you would call it?
Okay. And it's the kind of food you would get if you would have dinner in one of the French Quarter restaurants in the French Quarter in its day. And that was very popular, and people were doing very elaborate dishes, and it was really nice.
Did it come around the time of Flaggins?
Were
those contemporaries?
Flaggins might have beat them to the box. There.
Was Flaggins the original of that kind of restaurant?
No, the original was one that we just were talking about. Excuse me. A couple of about a week ago, we were talking about this very thing. It was it was a wine bar.
Steve is on the phone. Come on in, Steve. Think about it, Tom. That,
I can't believe you can't remember that restaurant y'all were talking about a week ago.
Oh, really? Which believe it. I can't believe you can't believe that. Go ahead.
Yeah, the guy's name was Stephen Gamble.
Okay. Stephen Gamble. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
His brother is David Gamble, who's a good friend of mine that plays with the Top Cats.
Oh, okay. All right. So, and was he just the money person behind it?
I don't think so. I think he was, also involved in recipe development, stuff like that.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. I only went to the place twice, and I wasn't real impressed.
Really?
Yeah.
I remember liking it. I thought it was a cool place, too. I like the place.
Yeah, I thought it was over. It was too big for its britches.
Is this Flagons you're talking
about? No, we're talking about Gambrill's.
Oh,
Gambrill's.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Did it last very long? How long was it around?
Not that long.
One or 2 years?
Yeah, I would say 2 years, yeah.
Yeah, something uh-huh. like that. And uh-huh. obviously, a few other people must have thought the same as me.
Yeah.
It didn't last very long, right?
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
So that just proves me right for once. I'm going to have to let my wife know about that this afternoon.
Well, good luck.
Congratulations. Congratulations.
Okay.
All right. Thanks for calling.
That's all your contribution for today.
That's good enough. We'll take it. We're not choosy.
Okay.
We'll take it. Thanks.
All
bye.
Right.
260-6368 is the number. Gambrill's. I'm glad to know that because I was wondering who that other person was. So Flagons in the heyday, Tom.
Yes. Yes, 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 yes.
In the heyday of the contemporary Creole bistro, because
mm-hmm.
you actually had a name for that genre of restaurant. Is that the right name?
Yeah, I called it modern culinary. Wait a minute, Cajun? No, Creole.
Is there another caller, Doug?
Mm.
Is that what Doug said?
I'm trying to put the words together, but. It definitely was Creole.
Yeah, it was a Creole bistro. It was like
Creole bistro. Yeah, I thought you called it contemporary Creole bistro. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Excellent.
Did we have a caller, Doug? Did he say that? No?
Yeah.
No. Okay. So Flagons was one.
Yeah. And you could go in there and get enough wine that you would got. They went through, if I remember right, 20 bottles of wine in a given day.
Flagons did,
and you could go there and choose from a number of different wines from different parts of the world, and it was very social because you could go in there and what do you think of this wine, what do you think of this wine, what do you think of this, and it would bounce back and forth, and it was really nice.
Did you like the food there?
It was pretty good. Their original chef was really sharp.
Who
and
was
then,
that?
I was afraid you were going to say that. But then there was another one, a French guy, actually, who was there for a while, and he was even better, I thought. And so it was a pretty – what happened there?
I remember that Flagons introduced me to a galantine.
A galantine, which is different from a ballotine, both of which get confused with one another fairly often.
Well, it was my first foray into pâté.
Yeah, you're in the foray? I didn't know that.
I always thought of pâté as potted meat.
Well, it wasn't that.
No, it definitely wasn't that. No. This was as good as Jacques Saloon's pâté.
Yeah.
Jacques Saloon does a pistachio-studded pâté, which is really scrumptious. And this was kind of like that. And I'll never forget it. It was very eye-opening for me. But, of course, I needed my eyes open at that time because
we
had just started hanging out with you. And, you know,
that was like
one of those revelations, kind of like the pecan pie that my ex-sister-in-law introduced me to. All of these epiphanies, these culinary epiphanies that have studded my adult life. So, all right, Flagons, Gambrel was one. What were some of the other ones that were in that little, that heyday of
Clancy's.
80s? Well, Clancy's is still around, yeah.
Yeah, well, you didn't tell me whether it's
No. I'm glad to hear it. So Clancy's, is that when Clancy's came into being about the same time?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. What else?
Yeah. And let's see, there was over on a couple of blocks off of St. Charles Avenue, and I'm drawing it blank on
Oh, 4141?
41, no. Well, that did.
That was one of them, too, though, wasn't it?
That was, you could even say that was the first one. Because.
Oh, was it really?
Yeah, because, in fact, we had the chef from there on the show here about 2-3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And he was one of the
That was one of the originals?
That. Yeah.
No
yeah,
kidding.
Yeah. Yeah
okay,
was
well, was Case Syrah part of 4141? Were those together?
No.
But that was a bar, right?
It was a bar. You got three for the price of one. You got them all at the same time. That's brilliant, isn't it? We have who?
Don.
Oh.
Your sometimes co-host. Hi, Don.
Hello. Oh, how are you guys?
Good. How about you?
We are fitting
good,
right in.
Good. It's hot, but it's good. Case Syrah. Did nothing but create traffic jams, as I recall.
Yeah, that's about right.
I mean,
that is true.
Spilling out into the street from every direction, and it was just one of those places I visited once and said, "No, this is not going to work for me."
Yeah, because you know a girl that you bring in three for the price of one.
Yeah.
Cocktail.
Yeah.
You know that this is somebody who's not really giving it the grand push.
Well, I thought you were saying a girl that's three for the price of one.
I've had a few of those.
I think the attraction was the girl who had the three drinks and they were hoping other people would visit. I think that was the attraction.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. When did Case Syrah close its doors for the last time? That's where Superior Superior Grill is, right, now?
Yeah, okay.
It used to be a Mexican restaurant back then. No,
well,
it is a Mexican restaurant.
Yeah, but I mean, did it go from Case Syrah straight to Superior Grill, or was there something
pretty
in
the interim? Pretty much. There might have been a couple more of them.
And I want to say maybe it was a victim of Katrina.
Okay.
Possibly.
Could be.
I think that's what it was, if I'm thinking correctly. But yesterday, you know, you were speaking to Bonnie, who was coming to the basically the warehouse district.
Uh-huh.
And yesterday we went out with the neighbors, and we were walking around, and my wife said, "We've got to go to Merrill." I said, "What do you want from Merrill?" She said, "I have got to have one of those booze balls." So I don't know if you've seen it. They literally have the snow wizard machine set up in the front.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
It was, like, I'm not even a fan of a snowball. That was good stuff. Pina colada with coconut rum. Very good.
Very good. when we had the grandkids in town, our oldest grandson is obsessed with, and they call it shave ice everywhere other than here, but he's obsessed with shave ice.
Yeah.
So any place he can have shave ice, he's got to have it. So when he walked in and saw that, his eyes about popped out. Now, he did not have the boozy ball. He just had some, I don't know, cherry flavor or something. But they do. I think it's a nice fluffy ice. It is, definitely.
It is. It's really good, and it was refreshing, you know. And
the Hawaiians, what it was about.
We wound up wandering. It was Monday, and I was doubtful if the Fountain Lounge would have Carl's Chicken. But we made a reservation anyway. They couldn't tell us when we called. They were clueless. But once we arrived, Carl was definitely there. And that fried chicken is something I shouldn't eat, definitely.
But you have something to. It's Carl's fried chicken.
Well,
you have to make exceptions when it's important.
It was good. And you know what? I really think his beans may be better than his chicken. And the chicken is fantastic.
That was the first time you had it?
No, it's about the third time.
Ah, the truth comes out. You're hitting it a lot. Okay.
Third time in over, you know, the period of a year and a half. So it's been a while.
Yes,
So he comes out, he sits down, he's talking to us, and of course he's telling me he's going to be at the chicken festival, and he says, I've got a secret weapon. I said, you've got a secret weapon? I said, what is a secret weapon, Carl? He says, fried baby back ribs.
That's a big thing right now.
Well, I looked at him, he said, sit tight, Don, sit tight. So he runs in the back, and he comes out about 15 minutes later with a rib for everyone at the table. And they were good, I guess, if you like that sort of thing. It's definitely not my sort of thing.
Yeah.
But the other people at the table loved them and thought they were great, and, you know, to each other.
Well, there are people who are going to like fried Twinkies, and people who are going to like fried hamburgers, and people who are going to like all that kinds of stuff, but that's not me, for sure. You don't need to fry a rib. It's, you know,
enough. You know, and the texture of the rib was really nice, and it had this, you know, the smokiness was coming through.
Uh-huh.
Sadly, I think it was probably a really good rib that shouldn't have been fried.
Yeah. You know, we saw that at a fundraiser a couple of weeks ago at the Ultimate Tailgate Party, this family that does tailgating and does a lot of charitable work with their incredible tailgate. They had fried ribs, and I thought, why would you do that?
Yeah,
but anyway,
why would you ruin a rib?
Exactly.
People do stranger things.
Yes, true. How's your sous vide machine?
The sous vide is fine. It has not been pulled out lately. My father had back surgery, so I decided to take today and cook them meals for a week. So I've been on like a marathon.
Good.
It's been
what's on
crazy. The
menu for them for a week?
Let's see. We did red beans and rice. Of course, we did stuffed eggplant with baked mac. We did a roast, of course, just with rice, gravy,
mm-hmm.
you know, just some and a chicken stew.
Well, so that's all wonderful comfort food. If you are flat on your back from back surgery, that would be pretty comforting, I would think. You're a good son.
We shall see.
Okay. Take care.
Rice pudding.
Yeah.
Take care.
Bye. Oh, rice pudding. All right. Bye-bye. 260-6368 is the number. That's 260-MENU. We are going to take a break and be right back. Give us a call. WWL 105.3 FM
You know what? We have to make
HD2.
Very clear. That's right.
All right. So we were talking about these contemporary Creole bistros. What other ones were there? This was before my time.
Let's see. There was,
I was completely unaware of these places until I started hanging around with you, and they were kind of on their way out by that time, weren't they? Of that genre. I mean,
yeah.
The Creole Bistro has lasted, for sure. You know, I mean, there are definitely modern versions of that, but these originals, they sort of died out in the late 80s, didn't they?
Yeah, the late 1880s is no.
No, they didn't have a lot of Creole bistros then.
No. It's when you started getting down into the 8 and 10s there, it started tightening up a little bit. And then it just moved on to other things. But what you are looking at there is the most perfect version of the baby boom. Because the Creole gourmet restaurants, they were right down the middle of that urge there.
I was in my 20s in the 80s.
Well, there you go. You were about there.
So that would be the age of these millennials now. So I guess that was our version of the radishes.
Yeah, that's about right.
Well, I like that better than radishes. For sure.
Well, yeah, but who even understands what radishes are all about?
Yeah, but I mean, there's not much taste to it. So at this time, the contemporary Creole bistro was really, as you used to call it, lusty food.
Yes, that is true. It's all of that and
a lot of garlicky butter and stuff like that.
And a lot of sausage that was big back then.
Really?
A lot of grilled things that you had never had grilled.
Well, grilled
before.
Fish,
grilled
for sure.
Fish. Nobody knew what that was. That it was a totally new thing to a lot of people at that time.
Didn't that originate at Mr. B's?
Mr. B's would have been one of the.
Was Mr. B's? That would have been Mr. B's is 40 years old this year. So yeah. That would mean that Mr. Bees came into being in 1979,
yeah.
Right? Yeah, 79.
Now, you brought up earlier about the about how things were when – gee, I had this all figured out, and now it's
– So Mr. Bees was a contemporary Creole bistro?
Yeah.
Well, then that would have been one of the earliest ones, wouldn't it?
There's another layer of this that I finally remembered, and that was that for the 4141 crowd and the restaurant that was there, which was Porter.
Stephen and Martin's.
That was the heart and soul of the baby boom generation eating out in nice restaurants.
And oh, was it really? Stephen and Martin?
Stephen and Martin. They really were out there ahead of anybody else, and that's not well noted.
But what kind of stuff was on their menu?
Same things as you saw in Clancy's and on the upper line.
Because Clancy's isn't grilled fish, is it? It's more like a...
Yeah, they have
Clancy's is more like a dusted in flour, pan sautéed trout almondine kind of thing, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's like an updated version of the classics, right?
I wouldn't say that that's what it's limited to. I would say that that is, in fact, most of what it is.
Well, it's like the core base of their menu, right?
Yeah.
That kind of updated Creole stuff,
yeah,
right?
It was the, let's see, another one was the, another one on Magazine Street at the corner. There it goes again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Clancy's, though, is, if I had to say...
They have a style all their own.
Yeah, but they have not only a style all their own, but they have a cult following.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you say that restaurant is one of those restaurants that has, like, a cult following?
That's a pretty strong thing, but I wouldn't disagree with you on that.
Yeah, I mean, there are certain restaurants that absolutely have that. I'm trying to think of some other ones. Clancy's jumps out at me as the pinnacle of that. I think that Gabrielle in its day had that going, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
Sort of
definitely.
A cult following. Who else has that?
You're looking for Cajun food, so you could even say, and without really being in ill fate. No, that's forget that last.
Wrong one. Without being wrong.
Wrong.
Go ahead.
Yeah, was what I was really after. K-Paul's. K-Paul's was kind of a.
It absolutely was a cult in its day, for sure.
So.
I wouldn't say that's true anymore. I would say it's become more of a.
It's certainly not true anymore.
It's more of a tourist place, wouldn't you say?
Oh, not anymore. It isn't.
I remember when I started in radio in 1980.
Yeah. Uh-huh. A lot of people then came in.
Well, I remember Paul, and I've told this story before, but I remember Paul had just arrived on the scene, and he was making an incredible splash in town. He arrived, I guess he had come from Opelousas. How long had he been at Commander's before he opened his own place?
I saw him.
They brought him into town, right? Commander's brought him into town from Opelousas?
No, he was already here, believe me. The first restaurant that he did was the restaurant that's now on the corner of here. A Bonnie?
Tom, you get us so excited, and then it just kind of fizzles. Bonnie, is this the Bonnie that called us earlier?
No, this is the Bonnie that cooks.
Okay, good. I'm really glad that it's not the Bonnie that called us earlier, because it just makes us look so
silly.
Pathetic.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No. I worked at Stephen and Martin's in the 80s.
Ah, okay.
And the ones that you are... The ones that were coming up in the 80s was Bouligny. That was
Bouligny.
Yeah, that was one of the first ones.
Yeah, and then Clancy started out like that, too.
Yep.
And then, let's see, what else? Cafe Sabiza started out doing contemporary after so
line.
Many years. They went ahead to it. Because
Cafe Spiza has come
there.
And gone so many times, it's hard to figure out when they actually arrived, you know?
Yeah, well, this was when Larry Hill owned it. and they would have the hickory underneath the grill, and you could smell it throughout the whole restaurant.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that was a good period for New Orleans restaurants. There were lots of good things. And the Upper Line was what part of that, too. We should not leave them out.
Bologna was the late, great Michael Udo, wasn't it?
Michael Udo, yeah. Mm-hmm. He was there
for a while. Oh, yeah, he started out in the G&E Courtyard, though, too. He started that.
Well, I thought Bologna predated G&E Courtyard Grill. It definitely did, because Bologna predated G&E Courtyard Grill.
I remember that vividly.
I wonder why no one has resuscitated Bologna.
Wait,
what?
The property is just sitting there.
I know, that's what I'm saying. I wonder why no one's done that.
Well, some of the guys that were running that, they were on to looking for the next thing, and their next thing wound up being, believe it or not, Copeland's
Outback Steakhouse.
And a bunch of other things.
Oh, was that what's his name? Tim? Tim Gannon, was that Bologna?
Yeah. And then before that he was, or after that, he was doing the steakhouse.
Yeah, that's what she said. Yeah. I didn't know Tim Gannon was at Bologna.
Yep.
Yeah, well he started out at Stephen and Martin's, then from Stephen and Martin's he went to Bologna, and from Bologna he went up to Florida to do the Outback thing.
Yep. And now he's a billionaire. The restaurant that was in, you know where the Winn-Dixie is now on the river?
River?
Yes. What was the name of that place? They moved to Waveland after starting there. That was part of this whole thing, too.
Oh, that got past me somehow.
No, you have to think about it because you'll remember it. It was definitely in the space that is now where Stein Mart is. There was a restaurant.
I don't know.
And whoever it is, anybody remember that place? It was the chef then moved from that location to Waveland, Mississippi.
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, what is the name of that?
I
can see his face and I can see his this.
Yeah, it's going to come to Tom like in 10 minutes. It's going to be bing, all of a sudden there it is. So you were cooking.
Wasn't he the big guy with the beard and the bandana on his head?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I don't know his name. I know exactly who you're talking about.
Yes, you can picture him too. The place in Waveland is closed, but he was good restaurateur. I thought that was good food. I don't remember the name of the place in Waveland.
He had fans and he had somewhat less fans.
Uh-huh. You mean personally or his cooking?
No, professionally.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Not terrible, just a little offbeat in his style.
Yeah. So you were cooking in the kitchen back in that time? Was it, did you say at Bologna? No.
At
Stephen and Martin. Mm-hmm. And so are you out of the restaurant business now?
Oh, no. I've been in it for 40 years.
Are you still someplace?
Yeah, I'm in the hotel business now.
Ah, okay. Are you in the kitchen there? Are you in the food and beverage?
Definitely.
Or what?
No. Yeah. Yeah. I'm in the kitchen.
Uh huh.
Oh yeah.
For goodness' sake, who are you?
I'm the executive sous chef at the Double T Hotel in Kenner.
Okay.
All right. So it's
those 4 ounce cookies.
Oh, I love those things. You still doing that?
Always.
Yeah, that's a signature of the whole brand. So how long have you been out there?
Off and on, about maybe five. The first time was 6 years. This time it's going on 2.5 years, or 2 years.
Do you miss the smaller restaurant for the bigger? Really?
No.
No kidding. Okay.
I did 15. Let's put it this way. After I left Stephen and Martin, I went to the Fairmont. I was at the Fairmont for 10 years. Then I went to the Doubletree for two years on Canal Street. And then after that, I spent 15 years in healthcare.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
that's interesting.
So you've been cooking in the institutional kind of setting for a long time.
Yeah, you but know, when I was in the hospital business, it wasn't so much institutional. You know, you made your rounds. You had to go to patients and make your rounds and ask them how the food was and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
Well, listen, thank you very much for spending some time with us. That was getting us on to.
That's a long career. Kudos to you for making it in the tough business that long.
Well, Tom knows me because of the Lost Restaurants. My dad had Mr. Pizza on the West Bank.
I remember that very, very vividly.
Mr. Pizza?
No,
Mr. Jack's Pizza.
Yeah. That's right. They had a sign out in front of the pizza place that said, "Home of the World's Worst Pizza." And they ran that for years and years and years, and then I don't know when they actually yanked it down, but it was up there for a long time.
Well, how good was the pizza?
It was the kind of pizza that was being sold around New Orleans in those days, which was not very good. We hadn't really discovered
it. No, it was the thin crust.
Because pizza is really not something that went back to the 50s or the 40s or something. We didn't start having good pizza around here until, I don't know, 1975 or something like that.
Yeah.
Well, pizza is totally different now, that's for sure.
Yeah.
With the influx of Italian-style pizza, it's way different.
I'm holding in my hand the very book that you have just been quoting.
What, The Lost Restaurants? Is her dad's pizza place in there?
Which one?
Yeah, her dad's it's a three-sentence paragraph towards the end.
Okay. Well, I'll have to check that out. Well, that's not there's pizza on the West Bank. Miss Moe's Pizza is hanging West Bank.
Yeah, that's been there
forever.
About 30 years, yeah.
Oh, just 30 years. Well, yeah, okay.
The guy who owns Moe's Pizza went to my dad's restaurant when he was a kid.
Was that the inspiration for Moe's Pizza?
I don't know.
You like to think so.
But
okay.
It was the inspiration for several people on the West Bank, though.
Okay. All right. I declare.
All right. Thank you for calling, Bonnie. Appreciate it.
All right. Wow. See you later. Bye.
It's the food show.
Congratulations on a long career. Great. It takes a lot to be in a kitchen for a long time, I think.
Are you kidding?
You know?
That's real work.
It is.
There's no question about it. It's real work.
Our daughter was complaining about doing as we bring the brand into 2019. It involves a lot of social media work, so we're firing up our Instagram New Orleans menu, and the Facebook page is actually becoming a working Facebook page because Tom didn't even know what Facebook was. And that's me. And she was complaining about the number of messages she was, you know, doing last night. And I said, well, it's not like it's really hard work or anything. All you're doing is clicking a button. But it is a job to handle up, you know, to handle social media is definitely a job. It's absolutely nothing like the back-breaking, sweating work of being in a kitchen, but it is. So whenever you used to complain about your job, I'd say it's not like you're actually slaving over a stove all day or something. Anyway, 260-6368 is the number. We're back to our usual safe spot of extinct restaurants. And if you would like to talk to us, we only have 10 more minutes, 260-6368. You're listening to WWL 105.3 FM HD2.
This is Tom Fitzmaurice. We're coming to you live from 105.3 FM HD2, WWL, the most famous radio station since WSMB.
Let's go to Steven.
Yeah. Steven is here.
Hey.
Hey, Steven.
New Orleans Hamburger Seafood has hush puppies, and now they also have waffles and fried chicken.
Oh? Mm-hmm. How is it?
Well, I don't know. I saw it advertised on the TV the other day.
Oh, really? Hmm.
And you went right out and tried it?
No, I haven't, but, you know, I just thought I'd mention it to you.
Do you like chicken and waffles?
I've never tried chicken and waffles.
I don't get chicken and waffles. It's definitely a New York City thing. Is it a New York City thing?
I think that's where it started and sort of spread. Now, there is a chicken and waffles place on West Esplanade.
Oh, is that the Waffles?
I've never seen any cars parked there.
Is that that place called Waffles?
Waffle and chicken or something.
I don't think it's chicken and waffles. I think it's just waffles. I mean, they might have chicken with their waffles, but I think it's like waffles, you know?
Oh, okay.
I don't think it's just specifically chicken. I don't think the menu's that limited. As a matter of fact, I'm glad you said that, Stephen, because I've been looking at that place whenever I pass it. And I've been meaning to look and see what actually is there. So I'm going to do that right this minute. Okay, so you haven't been to New Orleans Hamburger and Seafood. They probably don't miss you, Stephen. Don't you complain every time you go in there?
No, not really.
Oh, okay. No. Do you like it?
I didn't like the charcoal broiled oysters because they were too salty. But maybe that was just that batch because I spoke to somebody else that was having same day, and they said they was too salty.
Too salty, right?
I don't know.
Okay, well, I think I mentioned it to the owner. So it's called Waffles on Maple. That's the name of it. Is that right? Okay. Waffles on Maple?
That's a cute little
on West Esplanade.
Yeah, it's Waffles on Maple. Let's see if they have anything besides chicken and waffles. It's kind of a cute little place. It looks brand new. It looks like it was built from the ground up.
Well, I sure would like to head back to what we were saying earlier about the hotel
gourmet. Which was what? What about
the,
it?
The gourmet Creole style that was
okay,
bursting
go ahead.
Out
what
all
about
of
it?
The, well,
Stephen, is that all you have on your list? Wait, Stephen's got a list.
Okay.
He's got a list every day. Okay. Bye, Stephen.
Okay.
Thanks for calling.
Bye.
All right. Go ahead.
I don't know. It's just the waffles and the pancakes and the hamburgers. And, you know, after a while, it starts chapping me out.
Okay. I don't know what you're talking about. But anyway, you wanted to get back to the Creole Bistro. So go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah, because we were talking about that at some length. I mean, I'm not trying to say, hey, talk about what I want to talk about.
Well, it is your show.
I'd love to hear from you if you.
This is not promising.
Why?
I'm looking at the menu of this Waffles on Maple place, and one of the things that they have is soy sausage.
Soy?
Yeah, S-O-Y,
who came up with that?
Maybe that's why there's no cars there. They have a spinach and artichoke. They have a waffle sampler.
Yeah.
I don't see any chicken and waffles here.
No?
Yeah, that's kind of interesting.
In my brain, I cannot put the two together, but
it looks like a straight breakfast place with a lot of waffles.
Wada waffles. I have some news here.
What's that?
Today in 2005, well, you know what happened. It was Hurricane Katrina and all.
Oh, my goodness, Tom. Are you seriously doing that, Tom? Don't listen to this, folks. It's not real.
It's National French Fry.
Tom, can we do a New Orleans hamburger and seafood before you launch into
sure.
that?
Oh, sure. Go
okay.
ahead.
Oh, I thought we had two. Okay. I'm sorry. All right. Go ahead. We don't need to. Go ahead. Go ahead, Tom.
Huh?
Go ahead,
Our program is sponsored by, well, we talked about
No, this. We already did.
Okay. National Fresh Cut French Fry Day.
That's tomorrow.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, that's perfect.
Oh, Is it really Welsh Rabbit Day? Okay. I have a Welsh.
Have you ever had that?
Yes, I have.
Really?
Actually, I made you eat it.
Welsh Rabbit.
Which we went to back in the, 2000, we went to, Williamsburg.
Yeah, that's right. I remember
and
that.
In Williamsburg, if you've never been to Williamsburg,
I have indeed.
It's a really interesting, I'm talking to them, Tom. It's a really interesting place, but after a while, it gets really weird. Because the people who walk around there, who work there as these famous people, actually become them. I mean, I wonder what it's like to know these people personally, because they get so into their character. I wonder if they ever can not be in that character. I think that's kind of a weird way to live your life. But anyway, they have, besides the people who are someone else, they have all of these places that are, you know, back in the 1600s, 1700s.
All and of there's the buildings a, where
yeah,
put
yeah,
in
and there was this restaurant, and the restaurant had all of the dishes from back in the day, and they're taverns, and they're not taverns in the millennial way that we call taverns taverns. These are real taverns from that time frame, which are dark and old and low ceilinged and stuffy. And anyway, we went to this one, and we were sitting upstairs, and the ceiling was very low, and it was really dark, and I don't know, there was just something about it that kind of made my head spin. But I ordered Welsh rabbit, and what it was described on the menu was pretty much melted cheese awash in beer. That's what it was. And I think it was like really, really pungent ham with really pungent cheese melted on some bread, doused in a beer, and baked together.
But what ingredient was in there to make it the
well, I don't
dish
know. What? What?
I'm holding it in my
what
hand.
What is it? What was it?
It was the name of the dish was Brunswick stew.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't. No, it's not.
Yes.
Those are not the same thing, Tom. They're not the same thing.
Well, which is which?
Okay. Well, one is Brunswick stew, which was made with little critters.
Squirrel.
Yeah, it was made with critters. And then this was ham, kind of like a pungent ham.
That's
and cheese. Ham. And it was a wash in beer. And I just looked at it and I tasted it and I just, my head started spinning. And then I made you eat it, which is what I always did.
Well,
anyway, we're done for the day,
yeah.
Folks.
Well, thanks
we'll
for
be
coming
here
in.
Tomorrow. Hope you'll be here with us. NoMenu.com. Check it out, the new one. And we will see you tomorrow. You're listening to WWL 105.3 FM HD2.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.